All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we are picking up on page Kuf Mem Aleph in the Shar Revi'i. We're picking up in paragraph Gimel. Otis bar ha'inyon hazeh b'Torah. So this matter is further clarified in the Torah. What matter are we referring to? So specifically, the matter that tshuva sometimes does not take away the sin all by itself. That at times there are other processes that are necessary in order to go ahead and purge and cleanse from someone from sin, in addition to the process of tshuva. So he says this can be explained where Shneemar, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper alechem letaher eschem, as the pasuk says, for on this day I will atone for you to purify you. Now, what does this mean? Hine ki hutzrucha kaparas yom kippurim acharei tshuva. What do we learn from this? We see that sometimes, but there are circumstances in which the kapara, the atonement of Yom Kippur, is necessary even after tshuva. Meaning, what the Torah is telling us is there are certain averos, there are certain realities where even after a person has done tshuva, they still need the curative aspects of Yom Kippur in order to fully affect tshuva. This, by the way, goes back to the famous idea in Maseches Yoma, where Rebbe says, Itzumo shel yom mechaper, that the essence of the day itself, Yom Kippur itself, the day itself, has the ability to purify. The way the Shaar Tshuva is using this is, one second, why don't you Yom Kippur? If at the end of the day I've done tshuva for my particular chait, then why do I need the curative powers of the day itself? Elamai, rather, what is it? It must be that there are certain averos, there are certain activities that create a reality that cannot be changed only with tshuva. They need something else in order to purge, in order to cleanse the negative effects. And in this case, again, he's using the example of Yom Kippur. He says, Ki ikir kaparas Yom Kippur im tshuva. So fine. So that's just a proof to his thesis. But again, I want to be clear. What the Shai Tshuva is trying to impress upon us is the severity or power of our actions. That we like to think that if I do something wrong, all I need to do is do tshuva, and poof, everything is good. That's true in certain circumstances, but certain actions are so severe and so intense that they need something else in order to address the negative fallout. That's something else, you could fill in the blank. That's something else that might be Yisurin, might be suffering. That certain thing might be Yom Kippur. But the point that he's trying to make, his take-home message to us, is to understand the intensity and severity of our actions. Paragraph Dalet. V'yeshavu, asher lo tinokeh nefesh mimenu, obilti tohorihi, ve'inen l'ritzuya, ad asher hamaves yafrid beina u'beina guf asher chatabo. So now the Shai Tshuva says something even more intense. And there are other averos, there are other sinful actions, from which the soul cannot be cleansed, and cannot be purified, and cannot be made whole, ad asher hamaves yafrid beina ubeina guf asher chatabo. But you know, this of course is the most extreme, that there are other averos for which, again, Yisurim will not be enough, for which Yom Kippur is not enough, but rather need death in order to effect full atonement. I want to be clear, by the way, with what this means. This doesn't necessarily mean that a person dies immediately as a result of such a sin. But what it does mean is that the full measure of atonement is not affected until death occurs. Death, and by the way, I want to point out one more thing. Lav dafka, that it means tragic death. Right? Meaning, again, it could be that what the Shai Tshuva is telling us is that there are certain averos that I have, that I've done tshuva, I've had Yom Kippur, but that there's a certain atonement aspect that regular death, that death brings with it. So that I don't have full atonement ultimately again until the cleansing and cathartic experience of death occurs. Kimo, sheyesh choli shelo yinakeh guf mimenu. Was it just like, again, there is such a thing where a person could have an illness and that illness cannot be cured. So when is quote unquote the illness cured? When is it cured? When a person dies. One second. That's not being cured. Well, to a certain degree it is, meaning the person is no longer afflicted by the illness at the time of death. So meaning there are certain realities with which I must live out my life. Perhaps I cannot change them in this world. They will change. Death changes it. And death also acts as a curative process. Now, he gives an example of this. What's an example of a chet? What's an example of a sin of osai that cannot be cured, so to speak? Cannot be cured through tshuva, cannot be cured ultimately through Yom Kippur, through Yisurim. He says, for example, v'hu avon chil Hashem. So I'll say, so here's what's interesting about this is there aren't really too many averos that fall into this category. It's actually just a handful of things, because most things, Baruch Hashem, Tshuva could take care of, Yom Kippur could take care of, but Chil Hashem, desecration of God's name. Now again, we'll try to discuss a little bit more exactly what this means, but on a basic level, it means, again, engaging in behaviors that sully the reputation of the Ribono Shel Olam. Chil Hashem on a technical level is a sullying of God's name that takes place in front of other Jews who are often used to thinking that Chil Hashem is when we don't act appropriately in front of Gentiles. That's also not good. But technical Chil Hashem is when I don't act appropriately in front of other Jews. So here again, the Navi Yeshaya is lamenting this reality of Klal Yisrael. How it was, again, that Klal Yisrael essentially was just partying, right, doing whatever it is that they were doing, without regard or without concern, ultimately, for the word of Hashem. Rather, again, they were gathering publicly and engaging in all types of inappropriate forms of enjoyment, of pleasure. And the Navi says, because of this incredible Chilul Hashem, unfortunately, you cannot affect atonement until you die. And again, actually, this is in the Navi Divrei Hayamim. Ultimately, again, the Navi explains that they were just simply engaging in inappropriate, frivolous behavior to the point that they paid no heed to the word of God at all. So let's say to the point, again, and these are very dramatic words, because this even reinforces a bit more that not only are there certain acts for which tshuva by itself is not enough, but there are certain acts for which nothing on this world is enough. We'll say, this is a very sobering, I mean, you have to understand something. The Shari Tshuva is not just simply trying to tell us, oh, you're in big trouble. Shari Tshuva is trying to explain to us, trying to impress upon us the severity of our actions, meaning the goal of these, of his words, is to sensitize us to how we act, to recognize that every single thing we do has such an incredible impact, to the point that certain things we can't even fully fix while we are alive. That there are certain things that are so profound, so impactful, that I can't even remedy it until ultimately the person experiences the process of death. But the goal, the take-home message of all of this, is to sensitize us to our actions and to get us to really think long and hard before we act. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with paragraph Hey Amir Hashem tomorrow.
Why was it? One might say, why is it good to show? Oh, so.